Let's get started. Sometimes you have an image in your mind, and the reality that unfolds is nothing like that image. My brother once took a long-awaited cruise with his wife and kids. The image they had in their minds was one of vacation bliss. Cruise attendants, you know, helping the kids relax, or actually do activities, not relax, so that they could relax. Catch some rays out on the deck, of course. Not have to cook for a whole week. Not pie in the sky, really. That's what you pay all that money for. That's a cruise. Then a couple of the kids got the Norwalk virus. And they spent the majority of the cruise quarantined in their small cabin, practicing their toilet bowl hugging technique. Good times, really good times. Well, from that short-term discomfort to more serious matters, I know that many of us have had images of hope in our minds, some of which have come crashing to earth in the experiences we've actually had. It's been pretty devastating for me, I have to say, this last couple of weeks as a man, to watch the hashtag MeToo phenomena unfold as thousands of women share their stories of sexual harassment and worse, and then to hear several stories of people who are very close to me share their own pain, share their own hashtag MeToo stories, and realize that the ideals of equality that I have in my mind are a long way from being realized in this town, in this community, in this world. Martin Luther had long awaited his pilgrimage to Holy Rome. The image in his mind was one of hope. He was sure it was going to bring him closer to God and finally answer his questions, these deep questions about how he, a person who felt tortured by his failures, could find peace with God. But instead, when he arrived in Rome, he was shocked. He was shocked by the immorality around him. Priests openly consorting with prostitutes or mocking the sacraments with blasphemous language. In those shocking moments, Luther had his own vacation ruined moment. Worse, he had his own hashtag MeToo moment. He recognized that not only himself, but all of Europe, with her millions of subjects, was being manipulated, promised one thing, eternal life, but sold a mess of confusion by a group of deeply immoral men. Of course, there were good men too. There always are. But it was this disjunct between ideal image and the reality experienced that is the reason that the world today is marking Reformation 500. And this is how it often happens. This is how it happens in our lives. The discovery of God's grace, God's good news, afresh and anew, comes in the face of the toxic shock of human failure. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We just finished reading in our epistle. And so this experience of idealism shattered led Martin Luther to look, to search in the scriptures for good news, looking for a loving God who might make things right in him and in the world, in Europe. Scholars think that most likely in the spring of 1511, Martin Luther was sitting in his study, and he read Romans 1, 16 through 17, God's way, this is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, God's way of putting things right shows up in acts of faith. What he saw in these words is the actual ideal, the actual image of what he'd hoped to find in Rome. A doorway, not into an idea or an ideal, but into God's reality, what God's actually doing in the world, making things right via faith. As he put it, when he read those words and the penny dropped, it was as if the doors to paradise had opened on earth. The Reformation that Luther inadvertently triggered, it certainly was never his aim, was that God's good news truly is the freedom Jesus speaks of in our gospel reading. Again, to use Peterson, you will experience for yourself the truth, and the truth will free you. Not a set of demands concocted by a church looking for money, demands impossible to fulfill, but rather following this one who is giving his life for the world and following him in acts of trust and faith. As Paul puts it in our epistle, we are now justified by God's grace as a gift. The gospel, the good news of God, is gift all the way to the very bottom. Both in its offer, here it is, out there for you, and in our response to it, our faithful trusting. That too is a gift. It's gift all the way to the bottom. Another way of saying this is that God forms us from nothing. And from that formation comes the possibility of all helpful reforming, reformation. God never stops this work of forming, and therefore we have the privilege of always responding in ongoing reforming, the gift of living by faith. If we think of the Reformation as an event that happened in the past, we miss what the Holy Spirit is all about in our lives now. All our texts today point to this trajectory, if you will. God forms the people of Israel as a people, and then through the national tragedy of Babylonian captivity, God forms them, reforms them again, and amazingly, this reforming, it's not some cobbling together of a past, but not quite as good as the past. It's actually something better than the past, something new. It goes to the heart. Now it becomes a living covenant of the heart, a heart covenant that is infused with wisdom, in which all of us here in this room now have the capacity to say, "Know the Lord." It's in us. It's not an external thing. A prophecy, if you will, of what Jesus says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. You are free, and you will be free. Because it's gift all the way down. We're going to live into the beauty, the glory, and the wonder of the gift all the way along, because it's all the way down. Luther discovered the doorway to paradise in the spring of 1511, but he didn't nail the theses on that Wittenberg church door until October 31st, 1517. And so the initial gift of freedom that he experienced was growing in him as he learned to walk in it. And so, today, the ideal, or should I say the idea of baptism, we may have in our minds, is not the reality itself. Whether we imagine, with a medieval church, a kind of sacramental magic, or with many of our evangelical sisters and brothers, a mere sign of doing what Jesus commanded, whether we've been immersed, dunked, sprinkled, or splashed, there's going to be a little splashing going on here in a few minutes, or as a sign that we're now joining the church, as if something that profound could simply be a decision you and I make, the reality is both more powerful, more mysterious, and even more tragic than any of that. For baptism is a visible sign of the invisible divine grace we've been just talking about. That is at the core of what Luther, what Calvin, what Thomas Cranmer, what all of our Menno Simons, all of our forebears in the Reformation were attempting to communicate. It is gift all the way down. It is God's gift of grace, of acceptance before we do anything at all, whether good or bad. It is God's presence in our lives in a way more imminent than we can dare to hope, more community-fusing than we would ever want. And yet, the great tragedy is that, like all who claim to be sons and daughters of Abraham, we can neglect the gift. We can substitute cheap, homemade kitsch or oppressive laws for the expansive, complex flavors of God's grace. To rip off C.S. Lewis, we might be mistaken to think that baptism is a mere momentary splashing about in the puddle in a back alley. But in reality, what God is both giving and offering in this sacrament is a holiday by the sea. Not just now, but as Eleanor and Ruby grow, as they rebel, as they submit, as they play, as they fall in love, have children or not, find meaning and purpose in a vocation, and eventually grow old, like me. People call me the old dude in my family now. It's a new thing. The gift of gospel life and identity given to Ruby and Eleanor today will continue to grow and flourish from freedom to freedom indeed. It's this fabulous good news that allows one more wordplay, if you'll permit it. In the sacrament of baptism, we find ourselves formed and then called into new forms, into constantly reforming ourselves, not because we're unhappy with who we are, but precisely because now we can be happy with who we are. And then this gives us the courage and the humble confidence to perform this gift. It's as if God's formation is like the writing of a several-act play, the great theologian N.T. Wright says. Creation, then this all have sinned part, the fall, then there's Israel, Christ, and the church, and now you and I, in this place today, in this small parish, we have a role in improvising or performing the gospel in this time and place. By paying attention to the former acts of the play, we're given our fundamental character. But this part of the play hasn't been written yet. And so we need to improvise together. And this, my friends, is what we mean by faith. Faith isn't blind belief or feelings of certainty regarding the church or even God. It involves doubt. It's taking the risk to improvise justice, love, and goodness based on the risk we take to say it's gift all the way down. God is forming us and reforming us, and therefore we can perform. That's what our promises in the baptismal covenant are all about, and we're going to say those together in a minute. And if you're a sponsor here today, take heart. It is Christ with you and the Spirit in you that will help you be true to the promises you're making. Maybe like me, you find yourself in the face of the hashtag MeToo, standing up for women who've been harassed or abused or people who've been bullied, or people who feel God has abandoned them. Maybe you're one of those people. In face of what's going on in our culture right now, you're beginning to say, I'm one of those. You're standing up to what has happened to you. That too is part of your baptismal birthright. Maybe you've got your eye on your parish or your church, and you're one of those who wants to help perform what the Spirit is forming. That's part of your baptismal birthright. Luther, Calvin, Cranmer, and today the Catholic Church, amazingly enough, would say yes, walk by faith. Your quarantine is over. Everyone here is free. We're part of God's plan. Live into the freedom that Christ has given you. The Reformation is just beginning. Amen.